enough silliness. Let's sing a song or two.
We'll say a wee prayer. Amen.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength and for the freedom that we still have to be here. I pray you for our absent brethren, wherever they are. And Lord, that you would minister to each and every one of your children, that you would supply our what it is we need today. Bless our time in your house. I pray, Lord, that our songs and our prayers and our reading and our teaching and preaching of your word would be acceptable in your sight. And please speak to those souls, Lord, that aren't out. We love you and thank you, and pray your good hand upon us, and that you would be one of our number. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, there has number 66 in the hymn book has been on my mind, believe it or not, for a day or two. So we are going to sing number 66 in the big book. That is one called At Calvary. Number 66.
There my burdens all find labor. One, two, three.
Okay.
Only in Northern Ireland. That was, to be sure. Sorry about that.
You've made that mistake.
There we go. Sometimes I enjoy the singing and I enjoy the music so much that I close my eyes, lose track of what's going on, and then so I look at Monica, and if Monica looks a bit panicked, like we're on the wrong verse. Anyway, we're swapping books. If you want to go over to number 16 in the black book, that's one called He Lifted Me, number 6. Amen. Make sure the number of verses is right for this one. Let's stand, folks.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yieldeth her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God with the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God, the holy prophet, sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the saying prophet of this book, the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of the book, worship God. And he saith unto me, see not the saying of the prophecy of this book, the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, surely I am come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Some excellent verses there. Well worth two warnings which stand out. One says, don't mess with the Word of God. The other one says that, as death meets you, eternity keeps you. And if you step off into eternity without God, that's the way you remain through the endless ages of eternity. Alright, just want to remind everybody, it is the 4th. We are on to our little yellow prayer list at this particular time. Yellow in honour of...
Hoping there will be the sun they're
going to
have in China.
There you go. The good weather in China all day and well. Hopefully a little bit here too. Anybody got anything else they would like to add to the prayer list? I'm glad to hear that. We appreciate your prayers when I was up visiting my dad and helping him out with a few things here and there. Please just be with our absent brethren, our friends this morning, and please do continue to pray for the gospel outreach that is ongoing. And that's about that. If you think of anything else, let me know. Make sure I write it down and we will include it. Let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for all that you've done before us and blessed us with. And we just pray, Lord, for absent brethren. We pray for those that are cast down. We pray for those, Lord, that are straying. Pray for those that are separated from us by miles and oceans. And I pray, Father, please, for souls everywhere, that in these last of the last days, that eyes would be opened and brains would be engaged, and people would give some serious thought as to where they will spend their eternity. We indeed thank you that we come before you with anything and everything, and we just, Lord, we lay all of our, we should be laying all of our worries and cares and things at your feet, but we pray you right now, Lord, for the world. And as Norman was reading at the end of the book of Revelation, when everything here is wound up and tidied up, and the only thing that goes on with you, Lord, is those souls that have trusted in your Son as Saviour. Please, even now, Lord, bless and keep Israel, and hinder all those that hate her, Lord, and bless all those that love her. And I pray you too, Lord, for Britain, for America, for China, for North and South Korea, for Russia, for Ukraine, for the rest of Europe, Lord, and for goodness, Lord, the whole world and all the people that are tasked with looking after it, Lord. Please, I pray, Father, that you work in the hearts and minds of everybody in positions of authority, responsible for them and authority, and convict them greatly, Lord, about doing the right thing. Lord, there's so much more going on. Thank you that Edith is doing a wee bit better, Norman's sister. I pray you too, Lord, for Link and Dr. Shang's visit to China, that you would just enable the journey to be a smooth one, Lord, and that their time over there would be an enjoyable time. Please look after our parents, Lord, our siblings, our friends. I pray, Lord, all our chances for them to get saved. And Lord, when folks look at us, that they would see you. We love you and thank you. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Right, let's sing another song. We're definitely falling behind schedule a little bit here. Just see the time is about 20, half past. Number 23 in the big book. Number 23, that's one called There Is Power in the Blood. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Are in the blood. Word, you are in.
swapping books yet again to number 11 in the wee black book. And if you're able, stand with me as we sing Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. That's number 11 in the black book. Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Procurement of this message, but we're not going to read it all, but we're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 verses out of this portion of God's Word. And the title for the message this morning is The Root of All Evil. The Root of All Evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. The word of God says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, wailings and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen. I don't know what brought around the thoughts towards the actual topic, but it's been on my mind for a little bit. I got to thinking there must be a number of great examples in the Word of God. I'm sure many of us have seen many people that have run afoul of this failure in their lives. And I thought that we could have a look at a few of them this morning, and the consequences, and even what is going on in their heads, and make sure that we don't change our lives to be like them. Let's pray very briefly, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we pray your hand upon us and upon our sister churches across the world as we spend this time in your word, considering some of the dangers and pitfalls that there are in this life. And Lord, always making sure to keep our eyes on you. Please be with again our absent brethren wherever they are. And I pray that you would bless this time in your house, Lord. Love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. And I want for you to understand one thing before we go any further. God doesn't care how much money you have. I certainly don't care how much money you have. It's not money is not the root of all evil, but loving that above everything else. In fact, loving anything above everything else is a sure pathway to destruction, but especially money. It's what goes on in the mind of a soul that loves money. That's where the problems begin. And this little portion of God's word begins with an unpopular thought that we treat those that we are working for properly, respectfully, even if they're saved, because they're brethren. And it's a sign of being a Christian that you love the brethren and, of course, teach others to do the same. In many portions of the Bible, especially in the first chapter of Galatians, there are warnings about listening to people that teach otherwise. And it says in this one, stay away from them. What does it say? Flee all of these evil things, O man of God. And if any man teach otherwise, and he is proud and doting and all of that, there's quite a good description of the people that think otherwise. They are jealous of God's glory in the same fashion that the devil was, and of course follow in his footsteps. People that teach otherwise, they tend to be very proud, thinking that they know best, when actually they don't know anything at all. And they get bent out of shape or make a big fuss over tiny words. They strain at a gnat, I think the Lord said, and swallow a camel. And out of all of it comes jealousy. and trouble, name calling, and thinking bad thoughts. And they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. They have arguments about the word of God. And they think that whenever you're serving God, you should be healthy, wealthy, and wise. The prosperity movement. And that's not the way it is. The Lord says a successful Christian life is godliness with contentment. That is great gain to the Christian. It means that nobody can exercise power over you or leverage you. It makes a very good point here that we come in with nothing and we go out the same way, and all the things that we have, we should use properly, use wisely. Unfortunately, and maybe it's more striking in religious circles, there are so many holes that people fall into when they go looking for money. And the verse number 10, which is our text this morning, says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And it says, Christian, man of God, it says, but it means women as well. Stay away from thinking like this and the activities that people get involved in whenever they love money. Pursue a Christian character. Now, we have to really start with Jesus, because the Bible is all about Jesus. It's the good news of God. I have a bunch of these verses written down here, and I want to give you examples from the Bible of people that behave in exactly the same way. And in fact, if we are even aware of these things in our lives, we can nip these things in the bud and change direction if we need. This is in John 11:45. That's where we have been reading about the resurrection of Lazarus and one thing and another. This is just beyond that, when the people have seen Lazarus raised from the dead, and we get an insight into what is going on behind the scenes. I'll just read these few verses. "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary," that's Mary and Martha, "and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation.' And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation, but that he should gather together in one the children of God that are scattered abroad. And from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death.'" So we see here, as we read about these men that have nothing but power and glory and money on their minds, they have a problem. And that problem is Jesus. And their problem is that he does miracles, life-saving, life-changing miracles. And if we do nothing about this, all men will believe on him. Now bear in mind, these are ministers. And so, we'll lose our place and our nation. Now that's a lie, because the Romans didn't care who was running the nation or what religion it was, as long as people paid their taxes. And so they said, we'll lose our spot. We'll lose our place, we'll lose our position of authority, of respect, of our pay, and telling people what to do. We'll lose all that. And so it is better that this man should die and that the status quo should be maintained, mainly sorting us out. And from then on, they plotted to kill Jesus. They became murderers. I know there is a great little verse in there that shows how God used that to offer up Jesus Christ as a sinless sacrifice to draw all men to him. But that is not why these men were doing this. They hated Jesus because he was drawing people away from their lives towards God's truth. And all that they were interested in was themselves. We will lose our place. I'm going to give you another one here as we look on down to Acts chapter 19. I've got a few verses here about a man called Demetrius, a silversmith, as Paul and Silas passed through Macedonia. They caused no small stir because there was a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana and brought no small gain onto the craftsmen, whom he called together, that's in verse 25, with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know by this craft we have our wealth." There you go. "Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned many away, much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And they kept shouting and they kept gouging, verse 34, on and on and on for 2 hours, even over the top of a man that tried to explain all things away. And it basically came down to another man that said, "If you don't wind your necks in, the Romans will turn up and they will sort this all out." But here we have a craftsman, a silversmith called Demetrius, who is losing out because people are getting saved and living right. But again, all that he is interested in is his wealth. We're losing out, making money, or making idols that men can buy and worship, and we can get rich. But instead of thinking about the saving of souls and people living their lives right, all they can think about is money. As we look on again in, back a chapter or three in Acts chapter 16, there is another very good one. This one, I'm just going to read this, it's only a few verses. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 16, as I think it was Paul and a few others, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, by fortune telling. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. These were men that messed about with demons, with devils, especially one little girl, in order to make money. And she spent her time contacting demons. It was a spirit of divination which could work things out, maybe even give a little bit of the future. You know the usual one that the fortune tellers will tell you about, meeting someone tall, dark and handsome. And that's normally in an alleyway afterwards, when there's a guy in a black hoodie and a black sweat top and black shoes and black glasses, and he's taking all your money. There was no care for the people. There was no worry for the little girl that was possessed of a devil. There was no concern about people that made the decisions based on what they heard from this wee girl. They were only interested in the money. And it did bring them a fair bit of money. It brought her masters much gain. They were only motivated by wealth. And once they saw that the spirit of divination had been cast out by the servants of the Most High God, they vented their anger on them. Now the story goes on, and even though this seems like it doesn't seem like a great ending, there is a wonderful ending to this little portion of God's word, because Paul and Silas, they sing and they pray in prison, and there is a great earthquake. All the doors bust open, all the chains of all the prisoners break off, and the jailer was about to kill himself because he thought, goodness, when you feel that badly and the prisoners got out, you were a dead man, you'd be executed, and far better to take away your shame. But Paul shouted, "We're all here, don't be killing yourself." And the jailer brought them to his house. He washed all of their wounds, and the whole house got saved. They all got baptized. In fact, the jailer even said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas told him, "Believe on the Lord and thine house, and thou shalt be saved." And he did. But these are the things that men do when they're motivated by a love of money. They will do anything. They will consort with devils. They will plan murder. They will put people in jail. They will have them beaten, scourged. They will lie. They will cheat. They will do anything. And it has such an effect on them as individuals, they don't care about anybody else. They don't even care about their own well-being in their pursuit of money. There was an instance about the seven sons of Sceva, who were what they called vagabond exorcists. And they must have heard Jesus commanding devils to come out. And they must have heard Paul commanding devils to come out of people. And they said to this demon-possessed man, "We command you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth to come out." And the demon said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And he attacked them and injured them. And I suppose one of the greatest examples is the account in Luke chapter 16, where we see the end result of a man that loved money over everything else. He fared sumptuously, had nice clothes, a nice house, but he didn't have Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the Bible records that when he died, he opened his eyes in hell, being in torment, and there was no rescue, no respite. The word of God says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Now, as we read these, I am sure Some will say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. They're like uneducated savages. But if we look around us today, we see that there is no difference. Things are so similar, in fact, they're probably worse to such an extent, that people will lock up in jail, murder, lie, cheat, and steal from people that stand up to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And all those that listen to these men, and indeed these women, that even stand in churches, or sit in churches, by the millions are going to a sinner's hell, thinking that they have failed because they don't have huge swelling bank accounts, that they can't run a 4-minute mile, and that everything they touch seems to turn to dross and rust, so they think their lives are over. And these false teachings, as we already read, need to be walked away from. And until people are brave enough to put their faith in God, they will be forever afraid to walk away from their faith in man and their love of money and the false gods that they're given. Goodness, how many people do have in their gardens Hindu statues of the Hindu gods, statues of Buddha, declaring to the whole world that we are not Christians, we have idols in our gardens. And I will tell you of the time that I was in Sri Lanka, that's just what people that worshipped Buddha and the Hindu gods would do. They would put statues of Buddha in their homes and in their businesses, hoping for a little bit of his wisdom. Now, we've already been reading this morning in the book of Revelation, where it talks about, just about in the last few verses, it talks about him that is filthy being filthy still, and him that is clean and holy being clean and holy still. If a person steps off into eternity, if their life comes to an end, and they don't have Christ as their Savior, they are filthy and sinful for the endless ages of eternity. And as you read on, you will see that God will not have any sin in heaven whatsoever. Nobody that lies and loves and murders and kills and all of those things, nobody's getting in. All of the things that these men did were for short-term gain, but huge, incredibly huge long-term losses. They have no regard for the effects of the things that they do in the lives of the people that follow them, only on the weight of their wallet or on the numbers in their bank account. They have no regard for the eternal torment, the suffering and the regret that every single soul will suffer that believes and follows what they say, just their profit. And that is why that it is so important that the greatest object of our love and our lives is not money or things, but God. This is the God that became a man to walk amongst us for 33 years, to perform miracles, to speak the words of eternal life, and to give us life on the cross of Calvary for anyone that would put their faith in. If you were to take in your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you will read a description of love. It's actually called charity. And it's not about what love can get for itself, but it is about what love can do for the object of its love. And that is why it is necessary that the main object of love in your life loves you back. Because otherwise, you will be untended to. It is a great thing for a husband to love his wife, but it is also necessary for the wife to love her husband. Money can't love you back. It takes and takes and takes. But God does love you. And he doesn't love you back. You love God back. because the Word of God tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it pays to read and to do a little bit of study and your own investigation and even a little bit of self-reflection and see what it is that you love most in this world and how you treat everything else. Everything else is not disposable. There are people involved, but there are some things in this world that are simply our tools. They are just a means to an end. God is not, and neither are people. People have precious souls that need to be saved, but stuff is just stuff. It is not worthy of praise. It is not worthy of it's not worthy of lusting after, and it's not worth losing your life over. In fact, the Lord summed it up very well in Luke chapter 12. And this is what God said. He said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. But," and these are my words, "but of the acceptance of Christ as your only and personal Savior, and the servant of the King of Kings and the God of Gods when opportunity arises." Amen. Just want to thank you for your good time this morning. I do appreciate there was a lot of reading and a lot of Bible verses there. If anybody other than Ling and Dr. Shang want a copy of the notes, I have another copy here with all of the references. Just stop me and ask me on the way out or whenever we're done. I have an open slot for a hymn. Does anybody have a closing hymn that they would like for us to sing? Anybody have one? You got one, Mrs. Berger. Ling, Dr. Shine, no. It's all on me. I'll pick.
I was going to suggest 448.
448. That is Brethren, we admit the word. 448. 448 in the big book. And we stand as we sing, "Brethren, we admit the word."
Lord, our God.
safe travels home. Let's be dismissed with just a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again that we still have the freedom to gather together to worship and praise you. And I pray, Lord, that you would take this hour that we set aside and use it to flavor and shape the rest of our week. Again, Lord, I pray that you would deliver to each one of us across the world of your children our daily bread, what it is that we need. And see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. And that you would just look after Ling and Dr. Shang as they travel to China, Lord. That you would smooth over the humps and the bumps and give them the victories and opportunities. Love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen. God bless you, folks. We're dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. Amen.